And if you have your Bibles this morning, turn in the first chapter of the book of James. In the first chapter of the book of James, one of the greatest Bibles for practical Christian living there is the book of James. The Bible says in verse 11 of the first chapter, "For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace of the fashion of it perish. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death." Now the Bible says that lust conceives in the heart. That's what happened to David. The Bible said it bringeth forth sin. It starts right here in the heart. Then the Bible said in sin when it's finished. Many people think that they've gotten by with sin that they committed or practiced. But the Bible said when it's finished. And sometimes it just takes a little bit longer on some cases than it does others. But in the life of Samson, we find that it grinded and grinded, but finally it got that. Finally it got that. Little sin, lust conceived, but when it's bringing forth sin, but sin when it's finished. I want to preach on when it's finished. Let's look at when it's finished. And I began to look in my Bible this morning, and Brother Wood, where would you look to find the finished work of sin? Well, I believe the first place we ought to go this morning is to heaven. That's where everything started, and I believe everything starts there. The Bible said when sin is finished. Now, if you have your Bibles, look in the book of Isaiah, if you please. You say, "Brother, well, it seems strange that you're talking about sin, and the place you want to go to is heaven." But the Bible says in the 14th chapter and verse 11, the Bible said, "Thy triumph is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm, is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit up on the mount of the congregation, and the sides of the north." Listen now. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Verse 15, God said, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." Now, when we go to heaven this morning and walk into the glories of glory, we find the cherubs there. And the Bible said, "In the day that I created thee, Lucifer, I created the vials, and just like an origin was created in that night." I believe with all of my heart that the devil was the music director of heaven itself. You say, "Brother Wood, do you have any?" The Bible said, "The noise of thy vials," V-I-O-L-S. The heart, the symbol, the sound had come from Lucifer. He said, "Son of the morning, son of the morning." He said, "I will ascend to heaven." Now take your Bibles and turn just a minute. Some of you young Christians maybe never saw this, but in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 28, we find these words, very familiar to those who have studied the Word of God, in verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation to the king of Tyre. Thus said the Lord God, Thou sealed up the sun, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." He's talking to the devil, if you please. He's not called the devil in the Bible, he's called Lucifer. Lucifer, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, and the workmanship of thy tabret. Notice the music instrument again. And of thy pipe. Notice the music instrument again. Was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now, I want to tell you something. The devil has always been a master of music. And that hasn't changed in 1983. The devil is still the master of music, and the devil is still contaminating and cursing the world with rotten music. Amen. He said, thou art the anointed cherub. Who is this person that he created? The anointed cherub that covereth. In other words, he held his wings over the mercy seat. I have sent thee so. Thou was on the holy mountain of God. Thou walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. He's talking to the devil. You remember when the book of Job in the first chapter, it said when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came among them. He said, thou was perfect in thy way from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. Notice that. The iniquity was found in thee. Where was he at, Brother Wood? In heaven itself. The Bible said, by the multitude of thy merchandise, thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned, therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covered cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom, thy reason, and brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings that they may behold thee. He said here in verse 18, thou hast defiled my sanctuary. You want to know about sin this morning? You'll have to take a stroll with us this morning to glory. I mean right into the very presence of God, Brother Bobby, and you'll walk up and down and where God is, and you'll find the mark and the cracks of sin, where the devil himself rose up to be mightier than God, and God cast him out of heaven because iniquity was found in his heart. Sin didn't start in the garden. Sin started in heaven itself. What the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches. I know that you would want to believe that man had all this stuff, and I'm here to tell you there's something stronger than man called a supernatural power that's the devil himself. And I don't care what the fellow South Main Baptist Church says, it's not an influence. He is an enemy of hell. He is an enemy of God. He is a powerful one, and he's able to destroy your body and soul and cast you into hell. Let me tell you something today. He's the devil, and he was the music director of glory. His authority become anarchy, and he thought he'd rise above God. But God said, I'll make a new heaven and a new earth. Why is he going to make a new heaven? Because there was sin in the old one. What the Bible said. I'm just preaching the Bible this morning. All we're preaching here, you look to heaven, and you'll see the work that sin did it in heaven itself. You come in a little Baptist church and you say, Brother Wood, I wish everybody here was in purpose. Go to heaven this morning with us and take a stroll through there, and you'll find the marks of Satan. You'll find the place vacated by the devil himself. He was a cherub of God. That place is vacated today. I'm telling you, there's the marks of sin yonder on the walls of glory where the devil walked up. But one day, my God, when I head that away, he's building a new Jerusalem. Amen? And I'm headed to a new city where the devil ain't never lived and ain't never going to live. Amen? Amen. You say, Brother, what? I just read over it. Well, the Bible said he is the accuser of the brethren, and he accuses them day and night. And so the devil even now has access to heaven and accuses the children of God. Some of you join him in accusing them. Amen? But we look to heaven and we see the work that had done that. Think about a perfect place, a beautiful place, where God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost has lived through eternity. And you walk there this morning and walk through that place, and you'll find the tracks of hell there. You'll find the marks of the devil there. You'll find the place where the devil sinned and said, I'll be higher than God. And God cast him out. You look to heaven this morning, and you'll see what sin did yonder. I'm telling you, when it finished, it bringeth forth death. And if the devil himself, God said, he's got a place called the second death where the devil's going. He's going to throw him in himself. God never turned him over to man. He never let man handle the devil. God is going to handle the devil. And the Bible said he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's what the Bible said. Amen? All right. Let's take another little stroll. If you wouldn't mind, we'll leave heaven now. And we'll walk down and we'll go to the Garden of Eden. I want to say to you this morning, you never found the place. I believe the
I believe them great trees in the north woods of California is just an after effect of what was in the Garden of Eden. I believe them trees got 300, 400, 500, 600, 700 feet tall. That's how come them rhinoceros and what have you run around here, whatever they were, dinosaurs, what have you, they had long legs where they could eat on top of them trees, amen? That's right. But we go to the Garden of Eden, and what's that, Brother Wood? Peace and quiet, and man and woman living in tranquility, and everything God made it. God said he created out of heaven and earth, and it took him 6 days to do it, and he sat down and rested, and man tried to figure out for 1,000 years how old it is, how long it's been here, but God tells us how long it's been here, and it's been here just like God said. You say, Brother Woods, a scientist believe that it's been here 50 million years, and the next one you're talking to said it's been here 100 million years, and the next one believes it's 200 million years, so them bunch of nuts don't even know in 100 million years when it was made, amen? And I'd tell you in 6,000 years when it was made, amen? All right, but we're going to go back, and we're going into the Garden of Eden, and we find out, first of all, that the environment is perfect. And then we find that a man has a place to work, and a man has a place to worship God, and a man has a place to walk with God, and a man has a place with a woman, and him and that woman is there in perfect harmony, living in peace and contentment. Everything is perfect. All of a sudden, a dirty track comes again, walks right down the middle of that garden, walks right down the middle of that garden, walks up to that woman and said, "Hath God said?" I'm going to tell you something. The devil's job has always been to question God. He questions God. He said, "I will rise." God said, "You will not. I will rise and be higher than God." In the garden, same old story. Hath God said? Hath God said? When sin is finished, we find beauty and we find blessings. But then we find it all blistered by sin. Sin's walked into that garden. What's that, Brother Wood? Listen. Man never has saw one of them before. Well, Adam, what is that little hill there? What is that little knoll there? We never seen the ground. Mother Earth dug in like that. What is that there? He said, "That's where we buried our boy." "What'd you bury, boy? What'd you put him back in the dirt for? That's where you come from." He said, "His brother killed him. His brother killed him." "Why did he kill him?" He said, "Because the devil come here one day and walked up to my wife and had conversation with her and led her into sin. And I went into sin. And ever since then, it's been death and dishonor and disease and hell. I'm here to tell you, when sin is finished, it's death. Play with it if you please. Mess with it if you please. Go down the honky-tonks and I'll die in the joints as well. But when it's finished, when it's through with you, it'll throw you in the garden of this world." And we find old sin there in the garden. Most peaceful place in all the world. God's there. Man's there. Got a little home. Here come old dirty sin tiptoeing right in that door. How many of you boys and girls came down the front of a church and got married? Boy, and I mean everything just looked good before you got home, and this came and that came, and that old sin began to come inside and eat away, and down come in. I mean, finally destroyed the home, destroyed the family, destroyed everything. And finally one morning you woke up and felt tired again. Ain't no trying to it. When sin's finished, it's death, man. It's death. I'm here to tell you, we go to that Garden of Eden and we find deception. We find denial of God's word. We find that old devil with his deception saying, "Come on, Eve, you want to have a good time? You want to be wise? You want to be smart in the Bible? Just eat. Just eat. You want to see sin? Go in that garden." And it's not so bad. Nowadays, we got used to it. I walked in a home the other night. One of these men or women, a lady pulled out a watch. She said, "You see that watch?" And I said, "Yeah." Blood all over. I picked it up and spun it around. I spun that watch around. And I looked at that watch. "Come here, boy. Come here, Brother Jack, just a minute." And I remember the boy that wore that watch, and he's the same size as this boy right here. We went down there and sat in the first grade together. And I looked at that watch. And I said to myself, "You know, it looks like a boy that got a scholarship because he was a straight-A math student. It just looks like to me a boy who had everything in the world going for him. And I mean, worked out here in a big steel company. Just looked like he had everything going on. But that sin just kept eating, and finally one day in a bullet blast blowed his brains out and bloated all over that watch, and I sat down and wrung that watch around my finger. And I remembered what I was going to preach this morning. When it's finished, they bring forth death. When it's finished. You said, "Brother, what? I've been sinning." And I'm not dead. Ain't finished yet. Ain't finished yet. Remember the watch. She said, "Everything in this house," didn't you, Brother Tony? Said, "Everything in this house is just permitted with his presence. Blood on the watch." She said, "I want you to have his pocket knife." She even got an old case knife that he'd carried for 30 years and give it to me. She said, "I go to bed at night." She said, "I can hear him walking in his room." She said, "What's wrong with the preacher?" "Same thing wrong with him. Just waiting for sin to get finished. Just waiting for it to get finished. There in that beautiful garden, we find them tracks. We find them tracks of sin. But I want you to notice something else, if you will. Let's move out of the garden, because man's done moved out now and sin's done entered. We done quite headed down the road of life now. What's the first man's name's Cain? What's the matter, Cain? You got a problem? Yes, sir, I need to see a psychiatrist. What's the matter, Cain?" He said, I'll just tell you the truth. I can't find any rest, and I can't find anybody that likes me. And I just tell you, I'm just always on the move. I just kind of feel like I'm a fugitive, and I just can't find a place to find me, no, lay my head down and find no rest." He said, "Hey, John, could you help me with a little rest?" "What's the matter, Cain?" "Well, I don't know. In a fit of a temper, my religious fervor, I killed my brother, and God put this mark upon me." You have a man's mark today. You're marked for death. You're marked for hell without Christ. Let's look at this human race just a moment. Cain, going and building a big city. He said, "I'll tell you one thing, them gardens don't work. Man, you don't want no peace in no garden. You won't find no peace there." The Bible said he went down and called that the land of ours. He went down and built that big city. Began to build them cities. And he said, "This is where peace is." He come by that city about 40 years later. You see people killing each other in alleys, rape, rob, murder, ruin. And you say, "Cain, how's it going?" He said, "I don't know, but I'm doing the best I can. We whitewash these buildings, we paint them up, and we got better environment, we got better schools, and we're trying to get it worked out." And we come down, we find Cain Jr. We say, "Cain Jr., how's it going?" We get on down to the land of Cana, and what's happening, brother? Here's all in the land fighting God's people. What's going on, brother? We're looking at wars and rumors of war, and there's no peace. We look at the insanity of sin as man hits headlong. What's wrong, Brother Wood? We find drunkenness and nakedness, and man don't care nothing about God. We find wildness and willfulness as man charges on into hell, and sin is just about through. It's just about through. What is it, Brother Wood? We're looking at the human side. Not just a man now, but he's a man that sinneth not. The Bible said, "There's not a just man upon the face of the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." But man says, "Wait a minute. We're going to get our environment, we're going to straighten out, we're going to do all these good things." And the Bible said all is sin and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said all are guilty before God. Man hates to just come and plead his case and said, "Father, I don't need no lawyer. I'm guilty! Guilty! Lord, I'm guilty. I'm a sinner! Lord, start with the grave and put me in Christ and make me a new creature." Oh, this human race, Israel in her sin. Oh, she had it, but it cost her the presence of God. It cost her the protection of God. It cost her the provision of God. And Israel went into bondage and slavery. Israel, the sin and faith. Israel had looked back at the 470 years in Egypt and said, "I just want to tell you that sin is costly. It's costly. There's no more than out of that land." They said, "If I could just get out of Egypt, and if I could get in a better place." God said, "I'll take you to a better place." Took them to a wilderness. And they said, "If we could just get back to Egypt. If we could just get back to Egypt." Man has never been satisfied. When he's in Egypt, he wants out. When he gets out, he wants back in. And when God tells him there's a promised land and you can go through it, the Bible said because of unbelief, they never entered in. Unbelief will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Yes, sir. Unbelief will keep you out of that celestial city. That unbelief will keep you from being a child of God. Unbelief will fill hell today. But we go here to the human race and we look at them. And boy, listen, there's never been a country that has practiced education like we have. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that America today is the most immoral nation in all the world. That's right. disgusting. She said, I don't believe that'd be a very good topic. But, you know, I've worked on two messages. I'd rather be Hitler than some churches that I know. I really have. Brother, you know what Hitler did to the first homosexual general he found in his ranks? Bang. When he found out that General Rahm was a homosexual, he killed him. He said, if he ever touches a German boy, he's dead. One of his generals married a prostitute. You know what he did the next day? He was looking for a job. He said, we practice none of that here. Hitler was a teetotaler. He never drank one drop. When the war started, you know what he did, Brother Bobby? He went over and he sat down and he said, bring me something. They brought him a big fine dinner. He said, you think I'm going to eat like that when all of Germany is starving? He was a madman. He was a demon-possessed madman. Do you hear what I said? But a demon-possessed madman has got more sense than a lot of Baptists that I've met. Amen, Brother Wood. Amen, Brother Wood. That's right. And we look at the human race for all these years. The prisons are bigger. Prisons are bigger. Jails are bigger. Law enforcement, you can't fill them. Man says, just wait a minute. We need to get him a little bit more educated. Then six big boys playing football for the Cowboys said, all we need to do to be well off is get more money. And they give them more money. And then they give them $200,000 a year. Then one of them made $500,000 a year, and he said, you say, hey, ain't doing nothing, man. Just sniffing a little bit, man. Because, you know, I done got smarter now. Man, you talking about smart. I'm smart now, man. I'm making $500,000 a year. And finally, his brain about the size of a peanut. You said all he needs, Brother Wood, is education and money. He got them both. Y'all all getting that, ain't you? You all following me, ain't you? You can't even have... When I was growing up as a boy, Brother Clarence, you remember this man, Babe Ruth, would get up and all the kids would stand and cheer. Somebody came to Babe Ruth and said, we'd like to have your name on a pack of cigarettes. He said, I couldn't do that. Hey, he wasn't saved. He wasn't nothing. He professed to be a Catholic, but Babe Ruth wasn't nothing. But Babe Ruth said, I wouldn't put my name on a package like that because he said, I might call some kid to do something wrong. Yeah. Nowadays, Dorsett claims to be saved and gives his testimony in all the churches across America. And I've even read it in some of the religious papers, how he's a saved man.
Yeah.
All we got to do, Brother Wood, listen, maybe one thing you need to be in that big part of the king. I'm saying we're looking at the devil this morning. We're looking at sin, and when sin is finished, the pitiful part about it, and I'm not hateful about it at all, a poor boy like that, after he's got everything and all the money, all the wealth, when he comes down the end of the road, he'll die without God and without hope in this world and say, where is the millions that I made? Where is the crowds that cheered me on? Where is all that? Honey, the world will leave you. The world will leave you. Look at the human race. When sin is finished, they bring forth death. Let's move out of the human race this morning. Let's move away from that human race and let's go to a hill called Calvary. We get to a hill called Calvary and we see a man hanging right in the middle and he's kind of unusual and he's different. And let's talk to him because them other two fellas, we know they're both thieves. We know they've been convicted, but this man here, Tyler said, the judge said, the general said, the head mogul said, I find no fault in him. And I'd like to ask an honest man something if I want to know anything. And so let's talk to an honest man. And we come to a place called Calvary, and we see Jesus hanging on the cross, and we say, Savior, what are you doing there? And he said, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Him who knew no sin. What's going on here? You hear the howling mob as they say, crucify. Kill him! He's condemned our sin. He's destroyed our religion. He's come in hell to rule and reign over us. And this man will not rule and reign. And I can hear that howling mob. This is sin. And when sin is finished, I hear him say, "Goodbye, old world." I hear him say a word, "Father, Father, it's finished. Father, it's finished." And I know what he finished. I know he finished the work of Calvary for the salvation of souls. But just as sure as you're born this morning, sin was also finished right there. Finished with him. He knew no sin. He never done no sin. I don't care what nobody said, he couldn't have sinned. That's God, it was against his nature. It's against everything. I don't care what M.R. DeHaan said or nobody else. If he could have sinned then, he could sin now. If he couldn't sin then, he couldn't sin now. Amen, Brother Wood. I believe that. I really do. We go to Calvary. We see the hatred for the holy. Man don't like nothing that's holy. Man hates that which is holy. Sin! Because you see, the reason he hates that holiness displays the sinfulness of sin. And sin looks so dark in the presence of holiness. And that's why people won't live like they ought to live. If the average Christian had lived like, he'd bring his neighbor under conviction just by watching his life and hearing him talk about Jesus and about Christ. Hatred for sin. The righteous is condemned by the world. There's never been a period, never been a time when righteous people who live right, spit white, and walk right are hated like you are now. Never been a time. They call us fanatics. You know, I've often heard what a fanatic was, but I looked it up this morning in an old 1828 dictionary. I wanted to know what a fanatic was. And it says probably a religious person that was filled with a lot of enthusiasm about what he did, and he was over-enthusiastic about what he was doing. Well, how in the world could you get over-enthusiastic about getting people to Christ? How could you get over-enthusiastic about getting people saved? How could you get over-enthusiastic about living for Jesus Christ? I mean, how could you be a fanatic Christian? I never have met one. There might be one. I've never met him. I would like to meet him. Somebody that got over-enthusiastic about getting people saved. Over-enthusiastic about going to heaven. Over-enthusiastic about reading the Bible. I mean, over-enthusiastic about living a holy, holy life. I'd like to meet that person. I'd like to shake hands. Look to Calvary, and you'll see the dark stains of sin. One man saying, "If you be the Son of God." Hear that unbelief? If thou be the Son of God. I hear another say, That must be, he's calling for a life. Unbelief. I see that crowd pick up their dice and begin to gamble right down to the foot of Calvary. I see him rolling them stones and running them stones and said, I'd like to have his breeches. And one said, I'd like to have his sandals. And we're living in that same age today when man is trying to exploit God. Guys like old Coral Roberts. He ought to be in hell with his back broke where A.A. Allen's at. You say, I'm mad at you. I don't give a thing. I'll tell you one thing, a man that preys upon the sick and the afflicted. I ain't got no confidence in him. I ain't got a lick of confidence in him. And I wouldn't shake his hand if I met him in the middle of the room. Yeah. Him and old Shambach and all the rest of them. You say, I don't like you. I don't care. I don't care one bit in the world. That's the most wicked thing. All the face of God's earth. A blind woman the other day staggered out of that tent. Calling, I still can't see. I can't see. You're healed. You're healed. He's gonna be healed one day when God salves him in that fire. Yeah. Where them false prophets are. I don't like you, Brother Willie. I'll take me a baby Ashton tonight and go right on to sleep, honey. You wear him down in now. That's right. I'll tell you one thing. Them false prophets. Yeah. See, Jesus came to town and had to perform a miracle to pay the taxes. Are you listening? Shambach come to town and said, we got 5,000 new seats. We'll give $10 each one. And that night they paid for them seats. That's 50 grand if you can't add. That's 50,000 a night. That's not quite the way my Savior did it. Never charged nobody nothing for nothing he ever done. And furthermore, if they didn't have nothing, he performed the miracle. Fed the multitude.
stuff. That's not saved.
Yes.
Just go by Calvary. And when you get down Calvary, you'll find out how it goes. They're down to the bottom. Money was involved. And the world's so mad. The world's so mad. He's hanging up there. He's dead, man. He's done gone to be with God. And the world said, and rammed that spear in his side, burst. And the world's still fooling around with his body now. You get that after a while. You get that after a while. There's joking and gambling. There's railing and questioning God. And unbelief. But let's just go a little bit step. Father, we done come back to Calvary. And that's about all we can see. And we go down and we see a few little old disciples trying to get the job done. They've been trying to get it done ever since. But then we come to a place called hell. What are we looking for, Brother Jack? We look for them tracks again. We left heaven a while ago and we found a track up there on hell. We come down, we look in the Garden of Eden and we find the tracks of hell. We come across the human race and we find the tracks of hell. And finally, we come down to the hill called Calvary and Jesus down there for sin. And we find the tracks of demons. But now we come to a place called hell. 16th chapter of the book of Luke, and here's what it says in verse 19. You say, Brother Wood, it's supposed to be something that's relating to divine truth. Well, what is the truth that God's trying to relate to us now? I'll tell you what it is. First thing he's trying to tell us is everybody's going to die. Well, rich man died, and in hell he lifted up his eye. The poor man died, and he went to heaven. What's God trying to relate to us? There's life after death. He's telling us that death is sure, and life is hereafter. Rich man died, and in hell he lived. You say, Brother Wood, I believe in soul sleep. I believe when a man dies, Brother Wood, he'll go out there and weep till the great rest. In hell, the Bible said he lifted up his eyes. What is the story, Brother Wood? We go to hell, what do we find, Brother Wood? The Bible said in angels chained down until the day of judgment. Darkness. What's an angel doing that, Brother Wood? They send the kind of that heaven. They come down. God said he's got them chained until judgment. Book of Jude said he's got them chained in outer darkness. You mean tell me, Brother Wood, in hell there's going to be angels? What the Bible says. What the Bible says, going to be angels. And then the Bible said there's going to be devils. The Bible said there's going to be the devil himself. And the Bible said there's going to be the demons of hell going to be there. But the Bible said there's going to be human beings there. What are they doing, Brother Wood, in hell? Same thing they're doing on earth. Praying for something else. Lord, give me, send Lazarus, may bring me a drink of water. Let the rest of them go without. Just bring me a drink. Just bring me a drink. You see, sin's always the same. When it's finished, it brings forth death. This man dies, and in hell, he said, well, I thought I was going to die. He said, my preacher told me that once you die, Jesus went to sleep, and that's the end of it. I believed in soul sleep. But the Bible don't say he's a sleep man. The Bible said he's a praying. The only problem about it, friend, he's praying way too late. He's a praying way too late. And furthermore, I'd just like to tell you something, man. He's praying to the wrong man. So you don't get saved by praying. And you don't get saved by ritual. You get saved by coming to Jesus Christ as a sinner and said, Lord, here I am. I'm taking Jesus as my Savior. You say, how you get saved, brother? Well, very simple. Just very simple. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The tracks on you right now. When you was born, God said, when you came forth in your mother's womb, you came forth speaking lies. You said, Brother Wood, I didn't. Brother Wood, I've always been a pretty good boy. I had a Methodist preacher here, he's dead now. Died when he was about 108 and 109. He's with Teddy Roosevelt. And he wrote me a letter one day and he said, Brother Wood, he loved me and he was a good friend of mine. And he wrote me a letter and he said, I want you to know that Brother Wood, ever since the first day, he said, they put me in school when I was 4 years old. His name was Adams. And Mr. Adams wrote me a letter. He didn't believe in the virgin birth and didn't believe in the resurrection. And he wrote me a letter and he said, now, Jack, you needed to be saved. But he said, Jack, I
never didn't need to be saved. I've kept that letter all these years. He said, I never didn't need to be saved. He said, the first day I went to school at 4 years old, he said, Miss Patty so-and-so, said, I gave her my lunch because she is a poor girl. And he said, from that day to this, I've always lived a good life, Christian life. And he said, I was with Teddy Roosevelt, and I held those $1 million of dying and prayed for him. And Jack, I never need to be saved. God said, all have sinned and come and show the glory of God. And I sat in his house many times and said, Mr. Adams, do you know more than God does? God said, all have sinned. He said, not me. Not me. He died and left his life believing he didn't need to be saved. But oh, today, he fixed my watch a many times. He brought me a clock one time and put it up in the back of the church. But he come here me two times. He took his clock and went back home. He said, I wouldn't pay no attention to it. But I'd go down to his house and I'd say, Mr. Adams, wouldn't you like to be saved? He said, I never was a great big man, been a major in the army. Throwed his shoulders back and he said, son, I don't need to be saved. I don't need to be saved. But you know what? That trap was upon him. And one day, the proof that he had to be saved. One day in the newspaper, it says, Major so-and-so, at 108 or 9, passed away. When sin's finished, it bringeth forth what? Death. Death is a living proof. And when sin gets through, it'll take you to the grave. And when it's through, it'll take you to hell. It's a living proof. Every head bowed, let's pray. I wonder this morning, if you hear, there's people standing here in the front. He said, Brother Wood, I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to take Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Just as my personal Savior, Brother Wood, I'd like to be saved today. You come. Right there where you're at, bow your head and your heart and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he will. He will this morning. He will. Receive his Son. Receive his Son. He has saved you today. Our Father, we commit this sermon unto thee. God, I pray you'll speak to that heart that needs to be saved. Save that man, woman, boy, or girl. Change their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Anybody stand in place?
81.
Page 81 in your songbook, and let's sing it.
Just
you come to Christ,
as I am without one
place, but I am without one place. Oh, but that is God. You need to be saved today. Would you receive Christ this morning? As your own personal Savior. As your own personal Savior. Just step right out and come to Christ. Receive Him this morning. Yes, come right on. That's right. Come right on. Sing it, brother. Brother. Sing it. Everybody help him. I've won free.
Here is my soul,
I want an old track is upon you, a track of sin. You're a marred man, you're a marred woman. Come to the Savior. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, washes us white as snow. Now let us pray. I want to pray with you just a moment. I wonder this morning you're here and you say, Brother Wood, I'm not saved. Brother Wood, I'm not saved. Every head bowed and just pray just a moment. Just pray just a moment. Brother Wood, I need to be saved like this man, this boy. You say, I need to be saved today. Brother Wood, would you pray for me? Everybody here knows. Brother Wood, don't. But we're not going to get you down this aisle and throw no tricks on you. You need to be prayed for. You raise your hand. And I'll pray for you, and that's all. Yes, God bless you, lady. God bless you, yes. God bless you, sir. Yes.
Somebody else, you said, Brother Wood, pray for me. Brother Wood, I sure need somebody to pray for me. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. You said, Brother Wood, I need to be saved. Four men raise your hand. You said, Brother Wood, I need to be saved. Some ladies raise your hand. One of them, some children. You said, Brother Wood, I need to be saved. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's go to God in prayer. Amen. Just pray for these that raise your hand. Our Heavenly Father, we ask these people to raise their hand and we pray for them. Lord, we're just asking you to move upon their hearts. Lord, they raise their hand because you've already spoke to them and tricked their hearts and dealt with them. Maybe showed them their need from the Word of God. They need to be saved. To die like I, they're headed to hell. Father, I pray you'll save that soul that's nearest to hell this morning. God, speak to that heart and deal with them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, Brother Bobby.
Just as I am with my
you just let God have his way.
Well,
I am, Lord. I'm taking your song, Lord. Lord, I'm of God, I come. Here I am. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Let's just pray. It's just wonderful to be in the Savior's, but I'm just not one of them people that's going to pull nobody down an aisle. I won't help you. I believe the churches are filled with arguing Christians now. They've just maybe joined up to something. But I'm just here to tell you today, if you'll either receive Christ as your personal Savior, or hell's your home, that's just as straight as any man of God ought to tell you. I wouldn't want you to go out of here under any false illusion. There's no salvation outside of Christ. There's nothing that you can do to be saved. You got to throw yourself in the mercy of Christ. That's all. That's all. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these that came, those that you dealt with, those that raised their hands. Lord, those that need God so badly in their lives. We pray that you'll continue to work with them. Pray you'll continue to deal with them. We pray, Lord, the Spirit of sweet Spirit of God will take the Word of God and lodge it deep in the heart. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God. Would Hoyt and Jeff come up here, please? Hoyt, would you please come up here? Hoyt Rankin. All right, you're dismissed.